Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a mecca for geeks in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Dad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. This year, we're going to be wrapping up our year in review. Oh, I'm so excited. You can't tell because I'm wearing really tight pants, but I'm really excited about this. Mikey, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I am doing okay, and I am drinking a Dr. Crown. Which
good,
is
because
Crown Royal and Diet Dr. Pepper.
Crown, you got to have a better name than Dr. Crown.
Yeah, that's what the internet said.
Well, okay. Hey, motherfucker, this alcohol went to school for 8 years not to be called anything less than Dr. Crown.
How about Dr. Polaris?
Oh, I like that. It's ineffective and it might rape you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wait, that's Dr. Sun. Fuck. Fuck that up.
Dr. Light.
Dr. Light. Whatever. Actually, if you have a Diet Dr. Pepper in there, that's you can call it Dr. Light. The other one you can call it Dr. Polaris.
Success.
Success, my friends. Josh, you always have the best drink. What do you got tonight, buddy?
Today I have the next level of Julius. Julius. Just a little nicer than the regular Julius.
Do they still sell Julius?
Yeah, it's just a different beer. This has got a little more alcohol in it. It just tastes a little bit better.
Guys, do you remember when Orange Julius is roamed free across the world and you can get one in any mall?
You still can. Because yeah. Dairy Queen bought them.
I know Dairy Queen bought them, but how often do you run across a Dairy Queen?
There's Orange two Julius within 5 miles of me.
I was going to say, there's one like 5 minutes from my house. You just have to come visit me, Tom.
Yeah,
yeah. He's never going to see that Dairy Queen.
Yeah,
Tom.
I hate where you live.
Yeah, you just have to come visit me. You can have Orange Julius all the time.
I do love me an Orange Julius. That's giving me an extra reason to come visit my good friend Tommy. Speaking of my good friend Tommy, what are you drinking there, buddy?
I'm drinking Winchester Bourbon, Tom, because 2019 sucked, and I drank a lot of Winchester Bourbon.
Speaking of 2019 sucking, and it did suck. Oh, it sucked. But not for nerds. To tell you the truth, it was a great year for us nerds. It was just a bad year for everybody else when it comes to civil liberties, social justice, and human rights. But beyond that, man, what a great year for nerds. And it really was. So we're going to be talking about some of the best nerd things, comic books, TVs, movies. Mike, this one, you're usually the MC and keep us going along, traditionally at least, because I get super drunk by the end of this one. It's usually a pretty long podcast. Also, we have to drink every time we agree on something or we're going to say the same thing, which happens a lot.
So
Mike, you want to start us off?
Yeah, we'll be going round robin, and the first category we're going to do is the best DC comics that you read this year. We're going to do our top three in whatever order you feel like doing, and you have to have read it this year. Usually it's we require to have been come out in that year, but we're changing it up because there's such a backlog that we're getting to comics, you know, a little bit later than we normally would. And LT just keeps on recommending so many good things at the back of the long box. So I blame you, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
LT, why don't you go first?
I'm going to say the Booster Gold series from DC was something that I read a lot of this year that I really liked.
That's the Geoff Johns run where he's trying to stop Batgirl from being paralyzed.
Yes.
That's one of the best single issues. And you will see how futile time travel is. I think that might be an issue even you would like, Josh. Because it doesn't matter what he does, she always gets paralyzed. And sometimes Booster gets the shit kicked out of him to go along with it.
I like the time she got the Zika virus afterwards. Like, he saved her from everything else, and then she just gets Zika. I read a different comic book, didn't I?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you did.
But go ahead with yours, Tom.
Mine, I got mine at arm's length, but I'm not going to pull it out. And it was Wonder Twins powers.
Frank.
I knew I'd get somebody on that one. But you too, Mikey? Yeah. This was just terrific. Mark Russell can do no wrong. I didn't read the comic books. I waited for the paperback. Just got it about 2 weeks ago at New England Comics. And it is one of those comic books you really got to read twice. You know, you read the first time all the way through, and it's terrific. You read the second time through, and it's kind of like top 10, where you take a little bit longer, watch a little subtext, and read every stupid thing in the background. I love how it starts off so mundane. Zan is in a classroom. He's giving a talk about what life is like on his planet Xandor and how very nice and civilized the country is. Until there's a thunderstorm, and then Thunderlust takes over the planet, and everyone just starts fucking. That just kind of gives you, like, right off the bat, this is going to be subversive, it's going to be funny, and it's not going to be the Wonder Twins you remember. And I loved it.
Josh, what do you got?
I am trying to think of DC Comics I read this year. Tom stole most of my thunder on that one, and now I'm trying to think. Circle back around.
All right, we'll get back to you.
Stole my Thunderlust.
I will go with my favorite DC comic of the year, and that is by friend of the podcast, artist extraordinaire Liam Sharp, and my favorite writer of all time, Grant Morrison. That is the Green Lantern. If you guys haven't been reading it, it is some crazy, far-out shit. And that's all I have to say about it. It is weird and good at the same time, just like most Grant Morrison stuff is. Is that enough time for you, Josh?
Nope, not at all.
All right. LT, what do you got for number two?
I've got Doomsday Clock. I really enjoyed the Doomsday Clock series that came out. Yeah.
It's a three-year miniseries. But it just finished.
Yeah, it's been great.
See, I really liked it, but I hopped around a little bit. I didn't get everything. But there were a couple of new characters I really loved. I loved the Mime. That was a great new villain.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked what they did with it. You know, even though it wasn't sanctioned by Alan Moore, I still thought it did a really good job with some of the Watchmen universe stuff.
And it curtails nicely if you've been reading Justice League. Scott Snyder was able it seemed like forever because it took almost 3 years for this comic to finish, even though it's a 12-issue series. But it's really curtailing right into the DC universe where it's at now. So if you haven't had a chance to pick it up, the graphic novels should be coming out soon if you want to read it in trade.
I have to read it in trade because I didn't get everything.
Josh, what do you got for number one?
What do I got for number one? That's such a good question.
We can circle back around a little.
We'll circle back to you. Tommy, what do you got for number two?
Justice League Dark.
Oh, drink, you son of a bitch. You stole my number two.
John Constantine, I count one of the characters as the House of Mystery because the House of Mystery really does act as one of the characters in this one. Zatanna, Man-Thing. Man-Thing? Swamp-Thing? Man-Thing. Yes, Man-Thing.
Swamp-Thing.
Swamp-Thing, sorry. You can just switch those around whenever you want. Just a terrific comic book. I really liked just everything that's been going on in Justice League Dark. And I really thought they needed an attack team to go after the supernatural stuff that Superman, Batman, the other Justice Leaguers aren't, you know, as attuned to or don't have such an affinity for. But I want to meet some more Felix Faust in it. Mikey, what's your third?
Well, my second was Justice League Dark. So I will skip right over to my third, which is one I talked about last week. And that's Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. Again, it's a fun comic. It's just crazy goodness. If you haven't checked out Matt Fraction and Steve Lieber's work on Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen, you should really check it out. It's just a good read. Every month where I pick up the comic, and I wasn't even going to pick up the comic until they had a gorilla on the cover of issue number 2, and I felt compelled to, and I was not disappointed. And it's only a 12-issue maxi series, so it shouldn't be hard finding the back issues. Nobody's beaten down the door for it. So you could go to your local comic book shop. They just dropped issue number 6, so the first trade should be coming out soon on that, too. Josh, you got any comics for us?
I don't know. I think Wonder Twins is the only DC comic I really read this year. I'm trying to think of other things
You liked it for other reasons than I liked it. Why did you like it so much?
I mean, I just love the humor, and one of the things I love about the Wonder Twins is it reminds me of Top 10 in a way, where the background is almost as important as the foreground and the dialogue. And listening to Mark Russell talk about his interaction with the artist is just great to know that there are two people who understand what each other want and what a vision looks like, and that it comes together from both a action, dialogue, story, and background. And the fact that there's so much detail back there is really something I read more than once because I know I missed something.
That's exactly what I was saying. I mean, you really have to do it a couple of times. Even some of the posters in the high school for student president are friggin' hilarious.
Yeah, just a great job.
Hey,
I'll tell you.
Well, that's
third.
DC.
Well, it's something that I reread this year that I hadn't picked up in a good 20, 25 years, and that was Hawk World by Timothy Truman and John Ostrander. And that was just a fantastic series that I loved from back in the day. That I reread this year, and it's worth mentioning again with, you know, Hawkman, one of the greatest DC characters ever, to be committed to the page, his being one of the members of the Elite and realizing that things weren't always as they should be and rebelling against that in the Hawk World series.
And if you are a Hawkman fan, don't forget Dark Metal, where Hawkman was a central character, also came out this year. Josh, you forgot about Event Leviathan?
Oh, yeah. I did enjoy Event Leviathan. Good call, Mike. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Why'd you like Event Leviathan?
It was nice to see. I mean, you know, mostly when I poke around DC, it's in the Young Justice sort of vein, and it very much reminded me of sort of the depth of story, where there were different layers, and a lot of the more sort of young and upcoming heroes sort of doing their thing without the interference of the superpowers, you know, the big guns. I like when that happens.
All right.
And just an honorable mention for me, I will say Lois Lane. If you are a Greg Rucka fan, she is an investigative reporter, and it's Greg Rucka at his best. He's making a great, intriguing mystery story surrounding Lois Lane, and it guest stars Renee Montoya as the Question, as her muscle. Really good stuff. Tom, did you have a third one?
Oh, we went over all three of mine. LT did mine when he did the Doomsday Clock.
Oh, okay.
And then Justice League Dark, and of course, Wonder Twins.
All right. Well, let's move on to Marvel Comics. And I think this is going to be on all of our lists. And that is the House of X and Power of X.
Yeah, drink.
Drink.
Yeah.
I'm the only sober one here for that one.
The X-Men are back, baby. And that's all I got to say. It's the best X-Men run since Grant Morrison's run, and might also be up there with, in a few years, I might be comparing it to Chris Claremont's run.
Wow, high praise indeed. Now, the only reason I'm just late to the game on this one. I had a lot of things in the front log, and I just didn't get to it yet. But you guys have been singing the praise of this. Why is this so good, Mike?
LT, you just read it. What do you think?
I'm still reading it, and I just think it's really great. I mean, it's so well plotted out, and it's just so great to see such detail in it. I mean, Jonathan Hickman really has gotten every single detail in the series. And it's just, I don't know. It's certainly the best that Cyclops has ever been.
Whoa. Low bar indeed, sir. Low bar indeed.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa. Whoa. Whoa. By the way, I got a weird callback. Do you guys mind a quick weird callback? Danny Aiello was the voice of Scott's father in X-Men Apocalypse.
Really?
I was just checking the IMDb yesterday. I'm like, what are you talking about? And yeah, Danny Aiello is some disembodied voice.
Like a narrator? Like some voice?
I didn't watch. Did any of us watch Apocalypse?
I don't know. Which one was that?
I did. That's the one that has Olivia Munn in it.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
I thought you were going to say Olivia.
There's like some callback, some flashback, and I'm like, wait, that's Danny Aiello? So. Just so you know, we missed a Danny Aiello in the X-Men fucking universe.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Can you believe it?
Can you believe it?
And what Tom's referring to as a callback is last week on The Greatest of All Time, we did the greatest Danny Aiello movie. If you want to listen to that, you can subscribe to our Patreon. It's www.patreon.com/thelongboxguys, and for a mere $1 a month, you get access to the GOAT Greatest of All Time, where we talk about unimportant shit and we grade art, which shouldn't really be rated like that.
Yeah.
We're monsters. That's what we're saying. We're monsters,
total
and
monsters.
You can hear us be monsters for 25 cents a week.
Simple to simple.
It's true.
Tom, what was your number one Marvel then?
My number one Marvel, and I know no one's going to be drinking with this, but I loved it, Savage Avengers. I picked up Savage Avengers just starting about 3 months ago. It is an Avengers team with Conan, the Punisher, Elektra, Doctor Strange, Wolverine, and they're going after, and it's set in the modern world in the Savage Land. They break out of the Savage Land and they start trying to attack the snake, Kul Uthmangan. I probably am pronouncing that incorrectly. It's a wizard who, if he kills enough of the great heroes of the time, this giant monster god will appear and kill everyone but the followers. Side note, that never works. When the giant monster god appears, he always kills the followers first. Are we all on board with that?
Tom, how long has Lanya been back?
She's been back a while. Why?
I just don't know if this has been like a fever dream or if this is an actual book.
It's an actual book. I have one right over there. I can show you the cover with Elektra yelling at Frank Castle to keep soldiering on. At one point, Dr. Doom and Dr. Strange are vying for a necklace that Conan has captured. They both want it for different reasons. Conan only wants to kill a wizard. Conan kills a bunch of people in a hallway and then tells Dr. Doom and Dr. Strange, all right, minions, you two, hide these bodies. I'm going to hide over here and we'll kill the wizard. And Dr. Strange looks over at Dr. Doom and goes, minions? And Doom's like, I like him. And then, of course, he turns on everyone and tries to kill everyone. But still, Conan calling Dr. Doom and Dr. Strange a minion is awesome for me.
All right. Well, what do you have for one of yours, Josh?
So we did the House and Powers, and I'm hoping – I have this comic gives me hope. More than it is my most enjoyable. So King Thor. So far, I have liked the comic. But what I really want it to lead to is a return to a very focused and traditional Thor. And it looks like that's what they're doing. And I really hope they sort of clear up some of the storylines and I get a little while with my good old pal.
Yeah, Jason Aaron has been working on Thor for quite a while, and it looks like he's about to wrap up his run with the last of the King Thor comics. So it'd be interesting to see what ends up happening to Thor afterwards. I stopped reading it after they started the latest renumbering, or it might have been the second to the last renumbering. I don't know, because they renumber so often. It provided me a perfect jumping off point. So thank you, Marvel, for screwing me out of Jason Aaron's Thor.
She stopped rating at number one.
Yeah. LT, what do you got?
I've got a Dr. Aphra.
Oh, nice.
Good one.
Yeah. Nice job.
Because it's still good. I still love them murder droids. Still love me some murder droids.
Does she still have the murder droids with her?
You know, she loses them, she comes them back. They're great. They're fantastic. Love Dr. Aphra.
All right. Well, for my number two, I'm going to give a nod to The Amazing Spider-Man. I've been enjoying Nick Spencer's run on it. And anytime you can make the Gibbon one of my favorite villains of all time, you know you're doing something right.
The Gibbon's already I don't want to say an A because I'm sure that's species, but I mean, he's already the simian family. You love simians.
He's a human.
The Gibbon?
Yeah.
He sounds like an ape to me.
Yeah, that's one of the problems with you.
Yeah. It is one of the problems with me. I'm sorry about that.
Read the comic and love the Gibbon. That's all I gotta say.
I don't know who the Gibbon is.
Yeah, because you didn't read Amazing Spider-Man. I'll find the issue and tell you which issue it is. We'll tweet it out at the Longbox guy.
Issue.
Yeah, it's the perfect issue.
That's the perfect issue.
Wonderful.
Not since Kite Man have I felt so endeared to a loser of a supervillain. Josh, you got another one?
So I have a pile of the X spinoffs that I have not read yet. I can't say they're my favorites, but what I can say is this. Just the relaunch with Between House and Powers and the new X-Men, I do have a lot of hope for a sort of a return to an earlier age where I do enjoy all of those spinoffs. So I'm hoping New Mutants and X-Force are good enough to keep reading. I'm really glad that – I think, Mike, last time we talked about it, you just nailed the whole Moira MacTaggert thing, where it's just such a brilliant relaunch where they get to keep the best and discard whatever they don't want. It's really a carte blanche relaunch without interfering with anything past or present. It's a brilliant idea, and like I said, it's sort of time travel. But I'm gonna give this one a pass. I'm gonna give the whole relaunch a pass because it really is such a good idea.
Tom, you got another pick?
I've really enjoyed Doctor Strange this year. Doctor Strange. We're getting in after all of magic is destroyed. That happened kind of all the way back in the beginning of the year. So at the beginning of 2019, magic is destroyed by this cult called the Acrophy or something like that. I don't remember. But there's almost no magic left on the planet whatsoever. And Doctor Strange is gathering up artifacts and trinkets and small things that still contain a little magic. And he's kind of hoping to jumpstart the planet back into the magic reality. It's kind of hard to be the Sorcerer Supreme with no magic whatsoever. So a very low-powered Doctor Strange is still being harassed by beings like Dormammu, who are outside of our realm, so weren't affected by the loss of magic at times. And it's fun to see him try to, you know, do what he can do against some of the ultra-powerful beings who still want him dead. Great comic book, great run straight through, and it's still going strong. It's still and when I say going strong, you know, sales are okay for our day and age. It's not like it used to be, but it's still a good, strong story. Very, much alive. And there was a short time when Loki was the Sorcerer Supreme because he beat Doctor Strange in the Citadel of Magic. But it turned out that Loki had made the whole thing up and the whole thing was an illusion. And he tricked Doctor Strange into thinking he was the Sorcerer Supreme.
That's awesome.
Much like he... Yeah, I know. It was really funny. He's like, wait, what? It was so... The him taking five panels to breathe it all in was the best part for me. And they even said something about, yeah, same thing I did to Pym. That was a whole other thing. but that was a whole other thing.
Yeah, when he convinced Hank Pym he was the scientist supreme.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when I tricked Pym into thinking he was the scientist supreme. It's a thing I do. Trickster. Tricky.
Tricked Diana Ross into thinking she was the singer supreme?
Yeah.
Does anybody else have another Marvel comic?
Yeah, I think just the continuing to read Ms. Marvel, the comic continues to be a quality comic that is sort of a tweener for me, where I think you can hand it to younger people and sort of bring them into the Marvel universe and still entertaining to read as an adult. It's a good comic. If you want to, if you got a, you know, 11 or 12 year old who really wants to get into comics, I would say start them there, suck them in, get them in, start rolling.
I've also got Captain America, Sam Wilson, from the 2015 and 2017 run. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Just get into that one. That's a good one.
That's a good one. Drives me nuts. They still have to distinguish him. Just call him Captain America.
But yep. Still, Captain America. Let's Captain America, guys.
Just keep going. Just keep going, guys. You're almost there. You're a colon and one name away from being right.
Well, they had to do it because they also had Captain America, Steve Rogers going on at the same time. And they couldn't have two comic books called Captain America, just Captain America at the same time.
Yeah, and usually
they had the all new Captain America where Sam Wilson was Captain America.
All about the adjectives.
Yeah.
They just wanted more number ones.
Yeah.
Bastards.
So I will throw out a comic that I mentioned before. I think The Invisible Woman has a miniseries going on, and I love me some Sue Storm.
You know, I remember asking you a couple of weeks ago if it was good, and you said you hadn't read it yet.
I hadn't read it a couple of weeks ago.
So tell me about it. I was excited to see it. I'm hoping I get it as a paperback.
So Sue Storm did some Black Ops work for S.H.I.E.L.D. back in the day, and now things are starting to happen, which is pulling her back into that spy world. It's great to see that Sue Storm had a life outside of the Fantastic Four and still does.
And she'd be a pretty good spy.
Yeah, she's a great spy.
Invisible Woman, pretty good spy.
Yeah. And I know what your last one's going to be, Tom, before you even say it, because you've been ranting
raving. Absolutely do not.
Oh, really? I thought you were going to say Doctor Doom.
It is Dr. Doom. Fuck. Dr. Doom with a caveat. Dr. Doom is terrific. If you haven't read this miniseries, it humanizes Dr. Doom in a way we've never seen before. It shows that he has a chance for a real life with a girl and children. And it's him kind of coming to terms with the fact that it's his hatred for the Fantastic Four, specifically Reed Richards, has kind of held him back all these years. It also shows him how much the people of Latvia depend on him, not just as a leader, but as a defender in his own country. It's a terrific miniseries. I do have a close runner-up I want to mention, though.
Go for it.
And that is Conan, Serpents of Set. Now, you guys have heard me rant and rave before about Solomon Kane. So Conan has to put together another super team because I guess Savage Avengers wasn't enough. So he puts together, and we're going for some wicked throwbacks here, Solomon Kane and Dark Agnes Do you guys remember Dark Agnes?
No.
She is a Solomon Kane type character. She fights in France alongside her psychic Etienne. And she's kind of a Joan of Arc-ish character, except she doesn't have any followers. She's more of Joan of Arc if Joan of Arc just decided to kick ass and fight supernatural beings. So this is the super... Oh, and Moon Knight, LT. Yeah, I thought you'd look out for that, you fuck. So these characters are pulled out of space and time into another dimension where this snake god is appearing, Set, of course, longtime enemy of Conan. So it's Moon Knight and Dark Agnes, Solomon Kane, whom I love from way back in the day, and Conan fighting the creatures of Set. There's only two issues out. That's why I'm not super psyched, because the first issue was kind of eh. Second issue was great. So, as long as they don't fall back on their laurels, we're going to be doing great.
All right. Anybody got any honorable mentions for Marvel Comics other than Tom?
Obi-Wan was a really good limited series for Star Wars. It went into kind of the years that Obi-Wan was kind of just hanging out on Tatooine, waiting for Luke to become the young man that he would become. Yes, the blossoming young man, and it was a really good book.
All right,
let me toss one more out there for honorable mention. That was the Loki miniseries. Anyone read the Loki miniseries?
I read Vote Loki, but that was a few years ago.
That was a few years ago. This one's new. Loki fights in the first issue the armadillo. Do you remember the armadillo?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. The armadillo is a hired muscle at a mystical casino in Las Vegas when Las Vegas was part of Hell on Earth. I remember the Hell on Earth series. And it's just terrific. Loki doesn't understand that magic has a cost on Earth. So he kind of knows it's going to happen, but he doesn't know what's going to happen when he uses magic because the cost. And it's kind of a fun Loki adventure where King Conan has to King Thor has to intervene every once in a while. And it's a real fun little run.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to independent comics, which is going to be really run the gambit because we all read different independent comics all the time. And I'm going to start off with one I think everybody's going to have on it, though, and that is Mark Russell's Second Coming.
All right. Damn it, you got it.
You bastard.
Josh, you want to say why Second Coming is awesome?
I mean, if you ever wanted to read a story about Jesus Christ living with Superman and the juxtaposition of violence versus healing in our modern society and take a deep dive into hysterically funny philosophy as it relates to modern society's purge of our own ideas of how we should deal with the world at large, you should read this comic.
That wasn't a run-on sentence. That was a light jogging sentence. But I believe every single part of it was right, and I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
That was well said, Tom.
No, that was well said, Josh.
Well, yes, but it was well said about Josh.
You're right. That was a terrific comic. I agree with everything you just said there. So much great social discourse about what it is to be a protector.
Yeah.
And what it is to need protection also, because, the main character in this, really wants to have a baby. And, that's a real big motivator. And how does Immaculate Conception kind of fit into the narrative of someone who is trying so hard to conceive?
Sometimes, Tom, you can't beat up the bad guy, but you can carry a drunk guy home, clean up his wound.
And good on you for that, my good friend.
Yeah, and what do robot aliens need with money? I mean, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a robot. LT, what you read more independent comics than everyone I know. So what's one of your picks?
Low by Rick Remender was such a great comic. Rick Remender.
Is it Remember or Remender?
Remender.
Okay. It's yeah, weird that you couldn't remember anything. It's Remender.
Remender. And Greg Tacchini? It was a great comic.
Pacini!
Tacchini!
Say it right, man. Pacini!
That was one of your picks earlier.
T-O-C-C-H-I-N-I?
And yeah. Is that the one?
Sing that.
T.
Is that the one where they're digging into
They live in the deep ocean because the Earth has been superheated by the sun.
Okay.
And it is fantastic.
That's still an ongoing series, right?
No, it's ended.
It's ended. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
And who was that by? Was that an Image comic?
I believe it was.
Okay, cool. Josh, you got another independent?
Yeah, so from Dark Horse, I only have one issue so far, and I am waiting for my back-ordered copy of the hardcover to come. And this is William Gibson's Alien 3. So William Gibson is the author of Neuromancer and originally was the author of the script for Alien 3. Now, the script that we all may have seen on screen was, as some of us remember it, awful. William Gibson's screenplay, on the other hand, was amazing. And so they started turning it into a 5-issue series, of which I have number 2. I really sort of want to read through it, but I have just looked through and I'm waiting for my hardcover of the whole series. But when it shows up, I can guarantee you, Gibson did a great job. There's a very different look and feel to what was going on in this book. And as Hollywood seems to miss every time, there's just a intellectualism that goes away when people are doing sequels, and I don't understand why. It's always pretty apparent in number 1, and then for number 2 and 3, we get hosed. This is not one of the cases. I really wish this is the part that came to screen, and I can't wait to read the whole thing, but it looks pretty amazing so far.
Tom, you got one?
I do, and it's a huge departure from what you guys are talking about because I really liked Robin Hood versus Vampirella. If you guys liked Tits and Ass, this is the comic book for you. it's just a misogynistic jaunt into how skimpy can we make these costumes and how over the top can we make the battle scenes. It is unapologetic in that way and even a little self-deprecating. And it's a lot of fun to read. The artwork is really sharp, really nice. And I'm not just talking as a sexist guy who likes the TNA aspect of it. It's a drawing style that I just really, really enjoyed. It reminded me a lot of what was that? A Terrible Spy Girl comic book, LT.
Danger Girl?
Danger Girl. It reminds me a lot of the artwork of Danger Girl. As a matter of fact, it's some of the same artists as Danger Girl. And that art was always really nice to me. I mean, it was real sharp.
Yeah, it's a swimsuit issue.
Yeah, it's a swimsuit issue.
Tell us how swimming sticky the pages are, Tom.
Yeah.
All right, well, for my next pick, I'm going to go back to 1942 when President Franklin Roosevelt ordered the internment of all Americans on the West Coast of Japanese descent. It is a true story. This is the autobiography in comic book form from George Takei, Sulu from Star Trek. It's called They Called Us Enemy. It is a great retelling. If you are a fan of historical fiction, if you liked March, this is the comic that you should read. It is drawn in a manga style, which is – it works for the comic and the setting. So I highly recommend They Call Us Enemy.
So a lighthearted romp.
Oh, yeah.
And Mikey, to piggyback on your sort of historical comic, I'm going to go with Dreaming Eagles by Garth Ennis, which – tells of yeah. which tells of the Tuskegee Airmen, which was a fantastic comic.
Yeah, all of Garth Ennis' war stories, he does a lot of deep diving and research, and it is good. Josh, do you have another one?
Once again, these are things I do not have complete series of, but I'm hoping to collect. So it is The White Trees, another Chip Zdarsky. It is a sort of a classic trio adventure comic, which I only have a smattering of. And I flipped through 3 and 4, and I am hunting the rest before I dive in. But what I saw, I love Matt Wilson. He's a local artist around here. He did a couple of my things I really enjoyed last year. And so I stumbled across some variant issues, and now I am hunting down the rest.
Chip Zdarsky's also been killing it on his Spider-Man series in Marvel, but I got onto it a little too late, so I am trying to collect the back issues. Tom, what do you got next?
I'm going to go with one that has been out for a while, but I just got a trade of it, and I was surprised at how much fun it is, and that is a little comic book called Empowered. Has anyone read Empowered?
Oh, I haven't read it, but I own a lot of it because I bought some as part of a Humble Bundle, and so I own it, but I just haven't read it yet.
So Empowered is deceiving in that it looks like your regular old Danger Girl style ripoff, where a girl in a super suit who gets more powerful as the soup gets shredded by various things. For some reason, the power of the suit is unleashed as she takes damage, and the skimpier the outfit becomes, the more powerful she seems to become. But it's more of a parody of itself than anything else. It's good writing, fun. The artwork style is terrific. And often the outcome isn't what you think it's going to be. So it's deeper than it looks. So look for Empowered. Get past the fact that there's a lot of TNA in there. And start reading it for what it is, a parody. And it's really entertaining.
So I think one of the greatest things about comic books right now is it doesn't matter what genre you're interested in, you can find that comic book out there for you. And I think us just going around talking about the independent comics gives you a great idea. Oh, I want philosophy. Oh, I want historical. I want a sci-fi. And for me, one of the best horror adventure comics that I've read this year is available for the first two volumes are available on Comixology. It is from Boom Studios. It's called Bone Parish. It's by Colin Budd. Imagine that a person is able to distill the bones of dead people into a powder, and when you snort it, you experience what the dead person experienced, and you gain their knowledge. So it's an incredible high, but they also use it to, like, they get the bones of some special forces people. So when the other gangsters are trying to take over their territory, they can snort the drug, and all of a sudden they are now special forces. It's a really great story. Great idea, great concept, and it's set in New Orleans. And I got to tell you, for a guy who lived in New Orleans for 20 years, the artist who's doing this, Jonas Scharf, also has to live in New Orleans because he has the whole city spot on. It is a great story. Go check it out. It's called Bone Parish.
Or he just loves Google Maps.
Yeah. Quick question is the Lewis and Clark one that we all like that I just started finally reading.
Manifest Destiny.
Is that independent?
Yeah, that's Image.
Yeah.
That's what I thought you were going to go for. That whole description that you were going to go for. I started raising my glass to drink it away because I finally started reading this after you guys have recommended this to me for like 2 years now. And man, I got to tell you, Tommy, everybody, you guys were right. This is a fun fucking comic. Lewis and Clark heading to the Pacific Ocean and meeting monsters on the way. Yep. Fun ass comic.
Yeah.
LT, you got another one?
I do. I do, Mike. And it's one that I've recommended to you that I don't think you've read yet that you should read. Invisible Republic. It is a poly sci-fi thriller, and it was fantastic, and I think you, sir, would love it. And it's by Image. It is filled with just intrigue and poli-sci and just a reporter trying to get to the truth. And it was just so well written and just so well done. Then I think you would just enjoy it so much.
All right. Just found it on Comixology.
And it's, I was going to say, it's a 3 volumes. So it's not even like it's a massive tome to get through. It's all contained in those 3 volumes. And it was just great.
And it's, I can get it digitally, the first volume, for $3.59 right now on Comixology. Hmm.
Yeah, you can get all three. Probably all three are on sale because I think Image is having a line-wide sale right now.
All right, done.
Okay.
Josh, you got another one?
This is actually more of a question since, once again, my comic queue is so deep. The relaunch of Bloodshot, I have it. Has anybody read it?
No.
No, but I own it also. It's in my pile.
It's in my pile, right? I'm still waiting. As soon as I saw the style, the interior art is really nice. The variant covers really good, and I'm really hoping it's decent. And also, some of us know Vin Diesel, Bloodshot, next year in a movie that is sure to be terrible. It's going to be awful.
Will you just try to be optimistic for once in your short, miserable life?
No, I am not optimistic about freaking comics to movie conversions. You know how I feel about this, and most of the time I'm just right. Most of the times I'm just right.
It's Tim Seeley's writing it, and he did a great job on Grayson, so I expect that this is also going to be a good series.
I hope so. I definitely got them all.
Tom, you get a last one pick for us?
I think I did all mine.
Okay. Anybody got any honorable mentions?
Metal was great. That was the I want to say it was 3 volumes, where it was kind of like Surrogates, where people would sort of take over these metal suits, sort of cyberpunkish, and fight in a sort of medieval sort of way. On a cosmic scale, and it was a pretty cool series if you like sort of arms and armor type stuff with your science fiction mixed in.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
We're going to go on to best comic book TV shows of the year. So for this category, it has to be this year. Can't be just watching back episodes of Lois and Clark, LT. We know that you binged all of them.
Wait, can it be a new season this year? I had to start this year.
It had to be on this year.
On this year. Fine. Yep. Done.
So, LT, you want to go first?
Watchmen?
Yeah. Okay, we're going to drink. I don't even care. I haven't seen
an episode, and I will drink just because I've heard nothing but good things about it. Why do you like it, LT?
Yeah.
I don't like it for the last three episodes because some of us haven't seen them.
That's okay. I haven't either. I can just like it just for episode one, just for the first 5 minutes of episode one. Where they just have the massacre of Tulsa, Oklahoma on screen, retelling a tragedy that I was never told about in history class. That right there. Never mind, going further in where Looking Glass, a new character in the Watchmen mythos, is being grilled by the Silk Spectre character in his own sort of interrogation machine, and having everything turned upon him when he's very uncomfortable about it. And it was just, the entire series is just so fantastic. Just everything about it, everything about Watchmen is fantastic.
All right.
From Squid falling out of the sky to giant blue dildos, everything.
That was a big blue dildo.
It was big. It was blue. It was bigger than it needed to be, and it was giant. It was blue.
Yeah. All right. Josh, did you have anything to add to that?
In the agreement that The Watchmen is a must-see series, I've been through 8 episodes. It's fantastic. It's a very worthy addition to the ongoing story there. Go watch it if you can.
Just for the character Glass, really. I mean, that character is terrific. Sister Knight is terrific. Once you really eat up her whole backstory, it just gets better and better as you go along.
Just so
is that
good.
All three of your first picks?
That was my first pick.
That was my first pick, yeah.
Okay, well, my first pick is what I think the best comic book series on mainstream television, and that is Stumptown. If you haven't watched that, it is the Rockford Files meets... Yeah, it's just the Rockford Files.
How many episodes are we up to, Mikey?
Dex as a substitute teacher was the latest episode, so that was episode 9.
I haven't seen that one yet.
My wife's going to love this one. Whatever her name is, Smoldy Mulders, whatever. Colby Smothers. And I'm sure she's going to enjoy the... Colby Smothers, that's her name, right?
That's not.
That's you're close. You're so close. You're just you're yeah. All, you're I'm going to give it to you. It's like horses.
Thank you.
Okay.
I love all the old music that is playing in her car cassette player.
Yes, well, she doesn't have a choice.
She doesn't have a choice.
But yeah, they're not spending a lot of money on production value, but they're spending a lot of money on the soundtrack. I'll give them that.
Sometimes that's what it takes. Guardians of the Galaxy was made 1,000 times better by that soundtrack.
LT, what's your number 2?
Harley Quinn?
Oh, God damn you, LT.
Sorry, I just channeled Dr. Psycho.
Wait, is that Dr. Psycho's nemesis?
Shut up, you. I just saw that. I see that now. I see it.
I see it. I say cunt a lot. I'm sorry. Oh, God damn it. That's funny. Hey, you suck, Kite Man? Did he mention me?
Yeah, if you haven't seen the new Harley Quinn cartoon on DC Universe, it's only 4 episodes in the and already top 2 for LT. It's full of callbacks. Even on the 4th episode, they're doing callbacks to like the other episodes. It's going to be a great thing to binge, but it's good every week. It's worth it.
It is.
They didn't skip on the writing is the thing for me on this one. You know, you could have just had over the top action and a lot of swearing and a lot of good guest voices like Kelly Cacao just coming off Cacao.
Cuoco?
What are you doing?
Kaylee Cuoco.
You're murdering names tonight.
Sorry. So, I mean, she could have just phoned this in from her time in as the Big Bang Theory, but she's not. She seems to be having a good time with it. King Shark is hysterical.
King Shark is great.
As the computer assistant. IT guy.
I'm not good with blood.
I'm not good. Wait a minute. Is he not good with blood as in he'll faint? Or he's not good with blood as it'll go into a murderous race and try to eat everyone in the building. It's different. It's very different.
I do have to say, as an IT guy, I sympathize.
Well, as an IT guy, what's your number two?
I am going to say this is not the best of the series, but still it is always better than most. And, of course, it's the new season of Young Justice.
That's fair. It was a good season. Yeah. I liked the theme at the end where it's always somebody sleeping.
I know that's the best like interlude for credits ever.
I swear the wolf is pregnant. Snoring. Does the wolf have puppies yet?
No.
I still say there's an Easter egg in there where that wolf is pregnant.
That's so good, though.
Not it.
I mean, they do a great job. It wasn't the best. I don't think it was the best season. But it was definitely better than almost everything else on TV.
Tommy, what do you got for your number two?
Well, I think as well that we kind of I think everyone's going to probably drink on this one, Umbrella Academy.
That was definitely one of my honorable mentions. I love the Umbrella Academy.
I thought it was terrific. It's a hard three for me.
Definitely an honorable mention.
Definitely an honorable mention. All right. That's fair because you hate time travel so much. And I can see how that would mess with you on this one. I didn't like the last episode. I don't think anyone liked the last episode, but everything leading right up to that was terrific. And I really think they did it justice. It was its own thing, and it was really enjoyable to watch. And
it was a very, very admirable interpretation.
Yes.
Like, regardless of my personal feelings about time travel, if you go to the source material and you watch the show, I don't think there's a lot of complaints from people. I mean, almost always when you go from one source material to the other, there are people who complain in either direction, and I do not think that was the case here. So I think they must have done a very good job.
Yeah, I thought the TV show was better than the comic itself.
Yeah. Because the music was just the added dimension that just made it better than the comic for me.
You know what, LT? I can't disagree with you on that one. You're always my music guy, and the music really did become almost a 12th character. There were a lot of characters in the same.
A lot of characters, yeah. That's an ensemble cast. Music right in there.
So I'm going to go with what I think may be my favorite comic book TV show of all time, and that is the craziness that is The Boys.
I forgot The Boys. I totally forgot The Boys. That's one of the few things I binged this year. Oh, John's making a face.
In harsh retrospection, I'm not sure how good The Boys was.
Pretty damn good.
It was good.
Pretty damn good.
It was good. It was good.
Pretty damn good.
But it was not as good as
the reinterpretation of Frenchie.
I do not like what they did with the story. I don't like the fact that they're not in already at the beginning of the story. And I think that sort of detracts from the lure of bringing Hugh into everything.
Well, Hugh is still your viewpoint into the world.
Yeah, but they are already in the world. The fact that they're all in it together now, rather than pulling Hugh in, takes something away from the story for me, and I'm not sure they're going to recover through the second season for me. I liked the show. It was okay. But the fact that they altered that in such a profound way for me, I'm not sure I'm hanging tight with these guys.
You should listen to our podcast on The Boys, and you'll see how much we all loved it, even you.
Do you remember when you had menstrual blood?
I said in retrospect. Did I not clarify?
Yeah, I know. I know you did.
Yeah. Josh, do you remember when you had menstrual blood on his face and they all made fun of him?
Are you talking about me or a character from the show?
Yeah.
That too.
LT, what do you got for your third pick?
College wisdom.
All right, we'll skip over LT and go to Josh. What do you got for your number three?
I am going to rock something for all ages, and if you haven't read it and you haven't seen it, and if you've got younger people and you want to get them into it, or if you're like me, when you wake up on Sunday mornings, you commit sometimes to watching cartoons like you did when you were a kid, and I'm going with Hilda. I fucking love Hilda. I know. Nobody ever says fucking Hilda, but Jesus fucking Christ, it's just an enjoyable, great little action-adventure cartoon, and I love it. Love it. And I went out and bought one of the graphic novels just to read it, and then I gave it to my friend's kid, and I love Hilda.
What is it on? What streaming service? Or
it's on Netflix. I would say first hit on age wave. It's like maybe 8 or 9 years old. She's a girl who lives in the wilderness and is very in tune with all the magic of the wilderness, and then is forced to move to the city and make friends in the city. And some of the wilderness and the city conflict, and she has to resolve it. And it's just an enjoyable adventure, and I just like watching cartoons on Sunday morning. Deal with it.
LT, well, you figured out number three?
I did. The Mandalorian, Mike.
Oh, Lone Wolf and Cub.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that a comic book to TV?
Well, there's 30 years of Star Wars comics, so I think I think we'll give it to him.
There's a little bit of source material.
But it's not The Mandalorian. It's there's no comic book The Mandalorian.
Star Wars comic book.
He's calling shenanigans. Tom, you gonna let you make the
do whatever
ruling
you want,
on it?
Man. Whatever you want, man.
Me? No. You know what? You know I love to fuck LT over, but since the comic book came out before the movie even, I'll understand.
All right.
What comic book came before the movie?
Star Wars.
Okay, fine.
So there's so what he's saying is there's a good chance there's going to be a Mandalorian comic.
Somewhere, yeah.
Somewhere with a baby Yoda in it.
Yeah.
So why do you like
a baby Yoda, the Mandalorian?
And as you said, Lone Wolf and Cub.
Yeah.
Yeah, so fair enough, Lone Wolf and Cub. You're right. My apologies, LT. Lone Wolf and Cub. My apologies.
LT gets an apology. Everyone drink.
Wow. Yeah.
Seriously.
LT, why do you like The Mandalorian?
Oh, my God. What's not to love? We've got a movie production. Christ, Mike, you really are living out in a cave in the middle of the sun. Out in San Jose.
A Mike, cave you need in a couple. Middle of the sun? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a hole? Well,
is that a thing?
That would be a hole. Right?
I don't know what we're talking about. Like,
He's in sunny California, but he is like in a cave because he doesn't have any of these streaming services.
Let's just say this, Mike. Do you need a couple bucks?
Mike, do you need? Do we need some more Patreon?
I'm doing fine because I don't have all these streaming services.
I think we need like my password.
I would. I'll probably get that from me this weekend.
So it's a movie production value TV show every week featuring a Mandalorian bounty hunter earning more and more pieces of his armor every week, just about picking up a bounty in a guild that asks no questions. He dares to ask a question. What are they going to do with it?
Don't spoil it for me. Next, you're going to be telling me there's a baby Yoda in it.
Yeah.
they're going to melt the baby Yoda down and eat it.
I was assuming they were going to make a smoothie.
Have you seen the baby Yoda drink that I sent you, Josh? We're going to have to make those. Yeah.
Well, Tom, seeing you're already on the baby Yoda drink, what do you got for your third?
I think I already named my three. I had the boys. I had, I think I got three.
For my third, I'm going to go with also one of my favorite of all time, Doom Patrol. That is just such crazy goodness. When you have a evangelical doomsday cockroach and a normal rat as two of the major villains of the series, one of the major characters is just a transient street. I mean, it's just phenomenal. Every time you think this can't get any weirder, they're putting on a puppet show. All right, sure, why not?
Half the episode was a puppet show.
Did that guy's dinosaur head just screw up his robbery? Yeah, it all happened. Doom Patrol.
Animal, Vegetable, Mineral Man cannot get it together.
The the best reason to buy DC Universe streaming service is Doom Patrol. Boom.
I'm followed up closely by all the comic books. Second, Dan Harley
degree. I was going to say, and the second best is Harley Quinn.
Yeah. And the first and one and a half season of Titans.
They jumped the King Shark. That's all there is to it. I'm so disappointed. But we'll talk about that some other time.
I did like a couple of Connor Kent episodes because he has a super dog.
Any honorable mentions for comic book based TV shows?
Ultraman. Wait, there's a new Ultraman?
There's a relatively new Ultraman on Netflix. It's a animated.
That was okay.
I'm gonna go with Lucifer. If you haven't seen it, got the latest season just came out on Netflix this year, and I binged the whole show because I never watched it when it was on, and it's delightful.
I've seen all of Lucifer. I love all of Lucifer, and Josh, you should love all of Lucifer, of course, because your hug crush is on there.
Yeah, I got through a lot of Lucifer, but not all of it. It started to lose me at the end there.
The season where his mother breaks out of hell is not perfect.
Yeah, but she's still okay. I don't care. And then it went downhill from there. As soon as they dropped her, I was like, yeah, whatever. I'm not sure I'm interested.
She came back as the lawyer, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she had a great redemption story.
It doesn't matter. She's hot.
Redemption.
I'm like interested. I'm super interested. I'm less interested.
I started to cry when Trisha Helfer's character died and Lucifer's brother's wings reappeared so he could take her up to heaven.
Yeah.
That was nice.
I had some tears, probably from chafing mostly, that scene, but whatever. Carry on.
A lot of chafing.
All right.
I want to give an honorable mention to one other, which is the Castlevania which was a comic book after it was a video game. The Castlevania on Netflix is a terrific, terrific anime. If no one's watching that, give it a shot. I like it. I really like the first season. Second season, not quite as good for me, but it's still good.
I don't know if it's been a comic book. Watch She-Ra. You people are monsters. Watch it.
It's good stuff.
It's good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Talk to our listeners.
I like She-Ra in bursts and spurts.
All right,
when Swift Wind goes to get a mace, that's awesome.
Let's move on. Yeah,
we're gonna move on to our last topic because we're well over an hour now.
Way over our time.
So we will just go with the best comic book based movie, and it had come out last year or
last year.
This year, 2019.
Yeah,
had it come out in 2019.
Well, if we're doing all three, we might as well all drink and say Endgame.
Yeah. That's,
real quick. Endgame wasn't everyone's cup of tea. Not everyone loved it, but it was a great capper to that first phase.
I cried, and I cried because it was an emotionally hitting movie, and a lot of the characters I love were in pain and were left to die on their own or just in horrible ways. I also cried because of lazy writing solved through time travel.
But when everyone starts coming through the portals, my God,
nobody could have thought of this except for time travel. All right. But anyway.
Abby's dad liked cheeseburgers.
There were some great fight scenes in there. When they gave a little nod to A-Force, when all the women characters kind of came together and took a nice little charge scene, I like that.
Yeah, when all the women characters came around and watched Ms. Marvel do everything, Captain Marvel do everything because they couldn't really do much else, that's great.
Captain Marvel was kicking some ass. It was good. Yeah.
She literally did not have to go through that battlefield. She could tear through a spaceship. I don't know why she gets stopped going through the battlefield, but whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
Does anybody else have another movie? LT, what do you got?
I've got this little independent film called The Rise of Skywalker.
Huh? I haven't seen it. Shut your pie hole.
It's pretty good.
Okay. I don't know if you can really call that a comic book movie. I mean,
yeah, not,
the comic book came out first.
I gave it to you in the last one. Come on, man.
Which means I'm using it as precedent now.
Yeah, he's got a point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, some of us haven't seen it, so we'll just move on quickly. Josh, what do you got?
Shazam!
Oh, Drake.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was a great one. So much fun, and it really shows that you can have a lighthearted, kid-friendly, well-written, fun friggin' movie.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, was it a great movie? Of course not. Was it a good movie? Yes.
Yes.
A lot of fun. It was the right thing to do. They portrayed him in the right way. It was not a great movie, Shut Your Pie Hole. I loved it.
I thought it was a great movie.
Anyway.
I'm going to go with a good movie for mine, but it had a great villain, and that's Spider-Man Far From Home. Mysterio was awesome because he still wins in the end.
Plus, while we're talking Spider-Man, let's go with Into the Spider-Verse.
That was the year before.
Not last year.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was right around the same time as
2018.
Negative Ghost Rider.
That's LT. You should listen to our last year's end of the year wrap up because Josh, not having even seen it,
predicted,
said it was the best movie of 2018.
Clap.
Yeah. In my defense, I'm drunk and I think I saw it in 2019.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
I called that shit,
Yeah, that was Josh's best prediction of that year. This is going to be the best movie of the year. And we all saw it like 2 days later, right before the deadline. We're like, oh, you fucking fuck.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Getting back to what you were saying, I really did enjoy Mysterio's reinterpretation of the character. In the comic books, of course, he was a special effects artist. In this one, he is a, you know, computer genius, you know, deep faker.
It's the best Iron Man movie.
Effects. Yeah.
That's not bad, yeah.
It's the second best. The first
Iron Man movie was better, but this is definitely the second best Iron Man movie.
Yeah. Definitely one of my favorite Spider-Man movies.
No, not really a Spider-Man movie. It's definitely an Iron Man movie.
Of all the ones where the name Spider-Man is on the marquee, one of my favorites.
Yeah. Does anybody have anything else? Because it was a pretty light year for superhero or, excuse me, comic.
Well, I love Guardians of the Galaxy, too.
Did that come out?
No.
Was that wrong?
Yeah, you're wrong.
It's the year before.
All right. I'm good. All right.
Anybody got anything else?
Yeah. Anybody? I'm trying to think. So Captain Marvel came out this year. Does anybody have an opinion on that? Joker came out this year.
Oh, yeah. Joker.
Yeah, I realized both those came out. That's why I didn't mention either of them.
I'll say this about Captain Marvel. It made me, for the first time ever, like the character. Yeah, I never liked the character in the comic book all that much, but, you know, I finally felt a little something for Carol Danvers.
Well, she was the battery to become Rogue, and that's really what I liked about her. But
that's how the movie should have ended.
Seriously, Mike, you nailed that. And anybody – there was no other perceptibly awesome ending to that movie besides the one you ascribed. And because it didn't end that way, I discarded that movie for all time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
now that they own the X-Men, Captain Marvel 2 is coming out. So let's hope that at the end, Anna Paquin just shows up at the end.
Just
and
shows
like,
up and murders.
Boom!
It's going to
be
awesome.
Hey, darling, how about a kiss?
Did anyone actually see X-Men Dark Phoenix? Did anyone pay to see it?
Well, I have the movie pass, so I can see movies. So I went and saw Dark Phoenix, and it was a movie.
There were pictures, and they moved.
It was the worst way to end the X-Men series.
Doesn't matter.
They had the perfect one the year before with Logan. They should have just left it that way, but they did not. They did not.
The best thing you can say about that movie is it was a talkie.
So the visceral feelings for Joker. Joker was a pretty divisive movie last year.
I like Joker.
I know you do, Tom. Yeah. Mike, you didn't, right?
No, I thought it was a very well-made movie, but I did not enjoy it.
LT?
I thought it was a good movie. I just didn't think it was a good Joker movie.
It is already, oddly, one of the highest-rated movies on IMDb.
And
it's in the top 20 already.
It is the highest-grossing R-rated movie of all time. So everybody be prepared for Joker 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Ah, thank you, LT.
Yeah, Joker has to dress up as a clown to save the youth center. I get it.
I'd fucking watch that.
He's going to lock in the entire town into the youth center and stock it full of laughing gas.
All righty. So,
if you can get all the building permits passed.
So with that, we're going to go into a speed round. We're just going to go around, not explain anything, but recommend three more things that was awesome this year that some people should check out. And if I come to you and you don't have one, then fuck you. We're moving on. So I'll Fair start enough. Off the Good Place TV show.
Good one. Good one.
LT.
Daddy's Root Beer.
All right. Josh.
Letterkenny.
Oh, so good.
Letterkenny, yes. Get her done.
Pitter patter.
Tom, what do you got?
Icos Rift.
What is that?
It's a video
game. You said no explanation, Mike. Stop breaking your own goddamn.
Icos Rift is a video game system you can buy that gives you a full 3D immersion reality show in your own place. And I just played it for the first time today. And it is insane how cool it is.
All right. Number two for me is the Pandemic board game.
All right. Keep going, man.
What do you got, LT?
Lego DC Villains.
Nice.
What do you got, Josh?
To be fair. It's not Letterkenny again.
Tom, what do you got?
Well played.
Mixing lubes. People, don't just use one. Always use two.
All right. I am going to say my third one is Pensacon. It is the best con. LT, what do you got for third?
Mark Russell.
The fourth or the fifth long box guy. Yep. Good call. Josh?
Well, His Dark Materials.
Ooh, nice.
It's good.
Tom?
I mentioned lube, right?
Yeah.
All right, then I'm just going to go with I Got Nothing, Go.
All right, that does it for us. Let's move over to plugs really quick. We want to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our Geek Rock music every week. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com. And also check out our wonderful friends over at their other podcasts, whosnextgaming.com and Movies Made Me, MMM podcast. Or you can also go over to the NolaNerdCouple.com and check out their blog. And LT, don't forget.
I'd like to thank GeekOrthodox.com. I love all their products, especially their T-shirts, their Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses, their stained glass prints, everything. But
Tom, you got a plug?
I was just going to tell LT to move back from the camera because he just freaked me the fuck out.
Josh, you got any plugs?
Friendly Neighborhood Comics. You guys moved and you're further away than normal. You got to clean that place up because you guys got to be clean. Right now, a little dingy.
Yeah.
Sort that shit out.
Oh, let me just give a quick shout out to Alpha and Omega Gaming. Hey, guys. Thanks for being my new crack dealer.
Hey. Hey there.
And it is, this will be coming out right after Christmas. And if you forgot to give somebody a gift and you want to give them the gift that keeps on giving, check out Novel Erotics for all your sex toy needs.
I have three of them, actually, and they're all terrific.
Yeah. Or you could check
Patreon,
out
Patreon. You can always give someone our Patreon, yes, son of a bitch, Mike.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier, so we'll just
be I've already seen that.
It's a really long podcast. Patreon, is that your sector, Josh?
Longer than you think. My Patreon, longer than you think.
That was the name of your sector. LT, got any words of wisdom for us?
I don't even think you deserve this podcast. It's so fucking long.
And Tom, what do you always say?
Don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You can live longer. And Mikey, what's this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
So pitter patter.
Pitter-patter. Let's get at her.
Last year, I was like, come at me, 2019. I got you. And this year, I'm like, 2020, put down that broken bottle. Can't we just be friends?